Matthew chapter 5. There are 9 verses of scripture right here where our Lord taught what the blessed state is. 9 verses start with the word blessed or blessed. And he said, this is what blessedness is. This is what supreme happiness truly is. Verse 3, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And the one that we're going to look at this morning is verse 7, where he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. He said, that is blessedness. That's blessedness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What is mercy? What is mercy? Mercy is not getting the punishment that we are owed. Did you know that we are owed punishment? Did you know that? That's what we're owed. That's what we've earned. That's what our works have gotten us. Mercy is not getting the harsh judgment and the harsh treatment that is owed. That's what mercy is. Mercy is something that's born out of love and compassion. It's born out of love and compassion. Mercy is what calms anger and appeases wrath. And mercy is what delivers forgiveness to a person who doesn't deserve it. That's the key to mercy. It's to a person who doesn't deserve it. If a person deserved compassion and deserved forgiveness and was owed relief from a harsh punishment, then it wouldn't be mercy. At that point, we're not talking about mercy. Not if they're owed it. That's not mercy. I've told you many times the story of that man who was standing in the courtroom while his son was being sentenced to prison. It's a true story. And how, as his son was being, just before his son was taken away to prison, the man said, "Your Honor, is there any room for mercy?" And the judge said, "Based on what your son has done, he doesn't deserve mercy." And the man said, "That's true, Your Honor, that is so true. But if he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. If he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy." Mercy is a heart of compassion, and it's a willing forgiveness for somebody who doesn't deserve it. That's mercy. And sadly, I hate to say this, but that's not us. That is not us. That is not the way that we are. I wish it was, but it's not. Our Lord said that we would be happy if we would be this way. He said we would be blessed if we would be this way. We would experience the blessedness of what it feels like to be merciful. Truly merciful. Full of mercy. Mercy full. Just full of mercy. But we're just not this way. We are not this way, not in our flesh. In our flesh, we're not blessed. We want to think that we are. We want to think that we show mercy and have mercy, but we don't. We harbor anger. We harbor ill feelings. That's what the flesh does. And we want to believe we don't, but we do. We don't truly forgive sin that is committed against us. And the reason we know that so is because we don't ever forget it. We don't truly forgive sin that's committed against us. And the reason we know that so is because we don't ever forget it. That's how you know it's so. That's how you know it's not truly forgiven. We don't ever forget it. Never. We would love to think that we do, but I wish I was a good-hearted forgiver, and I wish you were too. But we're just not. We're just not. And it's because we don't forget. We don't forget. I believe you'll relate to this. That feeling inside that says, I honestly believe you'll relate to this. There's a feeling that we have that says, okay, you have sinned against me. All right? You've sinned against me. And I can get over it. I can get over that. And we can go on having a relationship. But I'm going to keep my guard up. I'm going to. You're not going to do that to me again. I'm going to keep you at arm's length. I'll be fine, but I'm going to keep my eye on you. I'll see it coming this time. That is us not forgiving their iniquity, and that is us remembering their sin. That's what that is. That's us not forgiving iniquity and remembering sin. And that's what we do. Even if we try to forgive, even if we try to forgive, we can't ever forget. We can't. We'd love to have a moment of amnesia or Alzheimer's or whatever, but we can't. We just can't ever forget it. And it affects our judgment on a person. Forever. It just does. Somebody will hear that and will say, no, that's not so. I've had things happen to me and I've truly found a place of forgiveness. I have truly extended mercy. I have. I've forgotten about it. Okay. What that means is your mercy has never truly been tried to this point. That's what that means. Let somebody do to your son what they did to God's son, and then let's see how your mercy holds up. Mercy is for those who absolutely don't deserve it. Mercy is for those who, whenever you think of that person, they immediately go into the no. Not him, not her. Nope. Mm-mm. Category. That's who mercy's for. Nope. Mm-mm. No. Mercy is for those who absolutely, I mean absolutely, beyond any shadow of a doubt, don't deserve it. No hope of deserving it. No worthiness of deserving it. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 6. This is Luke's account of our text, the Beatitudes that we're looking at. Luke chapter 6. verse 20. It says, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." So this is the same portion of Scripture, the Beatitudes. And he goes on down in verse 27 to say, "But I say unto you which hear," if you've been given ears to hear, "I say unto you which hear, love your enemies." And he's not talking about somebody that we had a spat with and they continually mistreat us and we just can't seem to get along. And that's not who he's talking about. He's talking about somebody who is holding a weapon with the intent of ending you. Verse 27, "I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. But if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." Now let someone treat us or treat somebody we love like that, and it'll be proven to us we are not merciful. We are not merciful. We will extend what we think is mercy, what our mind thinks is mercy. We'll extend that to those that we think deserve our mercy. But to the truly undeserving, I mean the truly, truly undeserving, it's not going to happen. We are not merciful. Thank God Christ is. Thank God Christ is. Thank God Christ is merciful. We're going to know him. You know, God's people know him by faith, but we're going to know him by sight. In the day that we stand in his presence, this is what we're going to see of him and learn of him and know of him. This man is merciful. This man is full of mercy. He truly did love his enemies. Who were his enemies? You and me. The ones who came to him with weapons wanting to end him. You know, those were his people. He saved them. The book of Acts records the fact. But they came crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And we were not physically alive on this earth when that happened to our Lord. We weren't there. But all of those people back then who demanded his death on the cross, they are a representation of you and me. There are people on this earth who say, If I would have been alive back then, I would have stopped it. No, you wouldn't. You would have been organizing another party. Let's get another party lined up. Crucify him. We are the natural enemies in this flesh of everything that is holy and righteous and good in the Lord our God. We're the enemies of it. And the fact that our sin is so against him, that makes us so indescribably undeserving of his grace and his salvation. So unworthy, so undeserving. But thank God our Lord is merciful. Truly merciful. He is merciful to the undeserving. And what I want us to see, and then we'll go, is because he is merciful, he obtained mercy for all of his people. Because he could obtain that, he did. And what I want us to see is how he obtained it. How Christ obtained mercy for his people. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. How did Christ obtain mercy for his people? Well, we are sinners against God. All right? We are sinners against God. And if anyone says, no, I'm not a sinner against God, I'm not an enemy of God, I hear what you're saying, but I don't believe it. I'm not guilty of that. This is what 1 John 1 says. It says, if we say that we have not sinned against him, we're calling him a liar, and the truth is not in us, because he says that we are. He says that we are guilty of sin against him. David said in Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I sinned. All right, we are guilty. And Exodus 34 says that the God of heaven and earth will by no means clear the guilty. He will not do it. He will not do it. He cannot do it. He would be unjust and he would be unholy if he did that, by the character of his holiness and the character of his justice. God can only clear the innocent. God can only clear the innocent. Just like that man who was standing in the courtroom asking for mercy on behalf of his son. He was about to be taken away. The judge didn't give it to him. Again, that's a true story. And that man said, is there any room for mercy? And the judge didn't give it to him. They took him away. The judge couldn't give it to him. He couldn't. It would have been an unjust judgment. The law would not have been upheld. This is what you did. This is the law you broke. And this is what the law has to say about that. That would have been an unjust judgment. The law would not have been upheld. And that judge would have sinned against the ones he committed the crime against. He would have lied on and he would have broken his oath that he took for not upholding the law. So he couldn't do that. He couldn't just have mercy and say, you know what? Never mind. Yes, that's the right thing to do. You just go on home. He couldn't do that. It's not that he was being mean. That poor man, bless that poor man's heart on behalf of his son, he said, Your Honor, is there any room for mercy? Please have mercy on my son. It's not that he was being mean to that man and not granting mercy. He couldn't grant mercy. He could not. The judge didn't have a choice. He had to do what was right according to the law. And that's how it is with God. He will by no means clear the guilty because he cannot by any means clear the guilty. He is holy and just, and he must do what's right according to the law. And here's what the law says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. There's none righteous, none good. No, not one. The law says that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is 1 Corinthians 6. It says the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters. We know what fornicators are. Idolaters are people who worship the wrong God. Nor adulterers. We know what adultery is. Nor effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves. Has anybody ever stolen anything? Nor covetous. Has anybody ever wanted something they didn't have? Nor drunkards. Nor revilers. Nor extortioners shall enter the kingdom of God. Those people are not going in. He goes on to say, and such were some of you. And what he means by that were, such were all of you. All have sinned. Somebody will hear one of those and say, oh, I'm a sinner. All have sinned. So he will not clear the guilty. And we're guilty. All right? We are guilty. You hear something like that and you think, well, what does that mean for me? Here's what it means. You're guilty. And I'm guilty. We're guilty. All right? Here's the big question. How can God have mercy on me? If that's so, how can God have mercy on us? He is merciful. He's full of mercy. Mercy is in his heart. He said he delights to show it. But if he cannot clear the guilty, and we're guilty, if he must punish sin, and we're sinners, even though he desires to show mercy, even though he delights to show mercy, how can he without breaking the law? How can he without being unjust about it? How is it possible for God to show mercy to his people? Here's the answer. The answer is he had to obtain it for them. To remain just, he couldn't just show it. He had to obtain it. He had to earn it for them. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will show mercy to who I am pleased to show mercy to. But that mercy came at a price. It came at the price of redemption. And thank God Christ obtained it. He obtained it. The one who was merciful obtained mercy for his people. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, held under the captivity of the adversary. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. That means way of life. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. That's how he obtained it. By grace, we are saved. That's how he obtained it. He quickened us together with Christ. What does quickened us together with Christ mean? Look at verse 15. Ephesians 2, verse 15. It means he abolished in his flesh the enmity, the hatred, the enemy. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Through the message of the gospel, he preached the fact that he quickened us together with Christ. He took all of that sin and all of that guilt upon himself. And standing there in all of our guilt and all of our shame and all of our humility, God the judge, God the Father, could not clear the guilty. And he didn't. And he slayed his own son. And in that, he brought life. He removed death and he brought life to his people. He quickened us together with Christ. And with all of that guilt and all of that sin being gone, he preached peace through the message of his gospel. Look with me at Hebrews 9. This is the peace he preached. Hebrews 9. Verse 11, Hebrews 9, verse 11 says, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." That's how he obtained it. He obtained mercy and he obtained forgiveness by his own blood. And it's a true forgiveness. It's a true mercy that has brought true forgiveness. See if this will be a blessing to you. Look at chapter 10, Hebrews 10, verse 11. It says, "Every priest standing daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin." They keep trying and trying, but they've never done it. Verse 12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." He brought his enemies to his place of rest. "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, those that were set apart. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." Verse 17 says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." I won't remember them anymore. Not only has he forgiven, he has forgotten. How can God forget? It can't be. It can't exist. Verse 18, he said, "Now remission of these is," there's no more offering for sin, because there's not any. No more sin. Mercy and forgiveness has removed it. Now let me close with this question, all right? Who did Christ obtain mercy for? Who did Christ obtain mercy for? He obtained it for his people. But who are they? Who are they? Who did Christ obtain mercy for? Here's the answer. Every soul who needs it. Every soul who needs it. You say, well, that could include anybody. That's right. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Well, I thought this was a particular group of people. It is. It is. All of those particular people are included in this one word. Whosoever. That's the particular people. Because whoever is not a whosoever won't. I'm telling you, those who are not God's people don't need mercy. They're not poor and broken and low. They're high and mighty and self-righteous and lifted up and puffed up and in need of nothing. But this message goes out in God's people, and He convicts His people, and He brings their sin to them, and He brings them down into the depths of it. And they cry out for mercy. And they realize, I'm not. Every soul who needs mercy, Christ obtained mercy for that soul. Every soul who needs mercy is evidencing the fact that Christ obtained mercy for that soul. Only God's people need mercy. Only God's people. I for years thought about this and heard about this, and I used to think, what a shame would it be if someone was begging and pleading for mercy and God didn't show it to them. What a shame it would have been if somebody was begging, Noah, please let me get on this ark. And Noah said, nope, this is only for us. What a shame that would have been. But that didn't happen. Every soul who was on that ark, God made them willing to be on that ark. And every soul who cries out for mercy, God has put that person in a place where they realize, I need some mercy. I need mercy. Outside of God doing a work in a sinner's heart, that sinner will never cry out for mercy. I read that article sometimes that, and I tell you, it was an old preacher of the gospel who wrote it. It was Brother Henry. But the difference in preaching Christ and preaching about Christ, talking about the beauty and the fragrance of this rose. Somebody can give me all the details, but you're missing the beauty and fragrance of the rose. He said, I need to know that. He said, it's like someone who knows how God saves sinners, but is not a saved sinner. Somebody can know, oh yeah, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, such on and such on and such on, and never stand there crying, God be merciful to me. Somebody can say, God has to be merciful to sinners, and never cry, God be merciful to me. Outside of God doing a work in a sinner's heart, that sinner will never, ever cry, God be merciful to me. Here's what I would do. Salvation is of the Lord. There's nothing we do, but here's what I would do. If I don't feel a need to cry out for mercy, I would start asking God, will you please give me a need to cry out for mercy? It will be painful because you got to be brought down to the depths to see the need to cry out for mercy, but it would be the best thing that ever happened to us. Please give me a heart to cry out for mercy. Please don't let me be cold to your mercy. Please don't let me hear about what God Almighty, pure and perfect, did for sinners, wretched man, and think nothing of it and say, I've heard that already. Isn't that what we do? Lord, please save me from what I am. Save me from what I'm not. Help me. Please help me. If you do that, God is doing that in you. And if you do, it means Christ has obtained mercy for you. every one of God the Father's selected people, every one of them, Christ has obtained mercy for them. And every one of them, the Spirit will quicken the heart in them to cry out for mercy. And every one of them will cry out for mercy. And every one of them will get it. Every one of them. Hebrews 4 says God's people can approach the throne anytime they want to obtain mercy in time of need. And Lamentations 3 says it's brand new every morning. All you want, all you need, he'll never run out of it. And let me, I've been too long, but let me close with this scripture. Go with me to 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, verse 7, it says, "Unto you therefore which believe," and that's not of ourselves, that's a gift of God. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient and don't believe the word of God, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient," not believing the word, "whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." Who's he talking about? Those who believe. Those who have been given faith to see this and say, that's what God said. "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." That's the glorious message of the gospel. In Christ, in the accomplishment of Christ on his cross, you have obtained mercy with God. Christ made it so that he could show true forgiveness and true mercy to his undeserving, unworthy people. And we say, bless God. Blessed be God. Blessed be the one who was merciful, for he obtained mercy for us. All right, let's all stand together.